Hello, good morning and welcome to the Finance Show, tiptv.co.uk. It is Tuesday, the 4th of October, just after 10 a.m, and we're watching the pound plunge to 31-year lows. Horror in the financial markets. Would you agree with that, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications?
Morning, Zach. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that because the FTSE has rocketed over 7,000 this morning, so those holding equities will be pretty chuffed. Also, I might add, driven by the market SIPs construction report, which is over the 50, so it's showing expansion, 52.3 versus last month's number of 49.2. So we're in pretty good shape. Yes, obviously it's worrying for it's worrying that the pound is so weak on the international markets, but I think as we're seeing the Brexit policies unravel We're seeing the plan being unveiled by the PM at the Tory conference this week, then, of course, it was inevitably going to have an impact on the pound.
Right. Let's have a look at some of the news headlines. The most popular in business and finance: hard Brexit fears send pound to 31-year low against the dollar. I was going to say doctor.
It's Daily Mail again, isn't it?
Well,
it's over so-called hard Brexit intensified. Who's scared and who's feeling that they've intensified? That's what I'd like to know.
Those feeble Remainers are scared.
Yes, possibly.
But sterling plunged to a new 31-year low against the dollar on Tuesday as fears over a so-called hard Brexit intensified. And that's our friends in the Daily Mail. Iron ore exports hit pre-sanction highs on run-up in condensate shipments, whatever those are.
I think that's Iran oil, isn't it?
Iran's total crude oil and condensate sales likely reached around 2.8 million barrels a day in September, two sources with knowledge of the matter said, nearly matching a 2011 peak in shipments before sanctions. I believe, according to my memory, that Iran is trying to go for 4 million barrels a day.
So I think
hiking until that point.
I think it's somewhere around that level, and obviously we're seeing a buoyant oil price at the moment, and Iran oil is now in the market, and so there is a glut, but oil seems to be responding rather positively at the moment, which is, you know, rather against what you might expect.
Well, yes, the market seems to have believed the deal, inverted commas, that was arranged. But let's go on to the next slide. Mike's Morning Markets, which you would have seen if you had been watching the early edition of the Finance Show just after 8 o'clock this morning. Most Asian markets traded stronger, led by Japan, as the yen traded weaker on strong US manufacturing data. Futures suggest a mildly positive start for Europe. That was a good call. Goldman Sachs, who really should stop trying to guess where the oil market's going but can't leave it alone, say that WTI crude at $60 a barrel would raise US oil production by 500,000 barrels a day. US rig count has been rising since June and production has been stabilised. I presume that is a scenario they're describing, not a prediction, because every prediction they've come up with in the recent past has been totally wrong on that market.
Yeah, I have said before that I have a colleague in the industry who tells me that the lowdown is that everyone in the oil industry believes that oil will be back over $100 a barrel by mid-2017. But, you know, what do they know? They work in the industry. Goldman Sachs are speculators.
Right. Professional FX managers are on their longest losing streak on record, down 7 months straight in September, according to Citi Parker data. I'm not sure if anybody feels too sorry for them. And the pound continues to trade low as Prime Minister May signals she won't prioritise the needs of the UK's financial sector in Brexit negotiations, heightening the chances of a city exodus. Presumably she knows that people have got... Where are they going to go if they're not in London? Frankfurt? Paris?
Unlikely Dublin. Paris. Unlikely Paris. Possibly Dublin. Could be the US.
What, with Donald Trump? That sounds
that's right, yeah, depending on who gets in.
Or Hillary Clinton, that well-known capitalist Goliath. Implied probability of a further BOE rate cut by year-end has fallen to just 20% from over 50% in July as UK economic performance post-referendum continues to beat expectations, economists' expectations, let's say.
Yeah, but I think most people were expecting a lot of confusion and uncertainty after Brexit, and our economy is powering ahead. I mean, all the indicators so far have consistently delivered ahead of expectations.
Okay, let's move along to Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle, the trader there. CTAM reports that ratings agency Fitch has warned of the unintended consequences that the Bank of Japan monetary policy might have on the health of its banking system. It was worried that the increasingly unconventional approach, which includes massive QE targeting the shape of the sovereign debt curve, increased the risk of harmful side effects. It's taken them 25 years to work that out. It adds distortions in the bond market could be particularly dangerous for banks, which would be vulnerable if a normalisation ever results in a sharp rise in yields. So,
as you say, though, 25 years, it's been the status quo in Japan for 25 years, loads of QE, zombie economy.
Right, let's go on to the economic calendar, ISM New York, IBD TIP, economic optimism, not a particular data that I'm familiar with, and then the sale of four-week bills in the US.
Treasury bills.
Going on to sentiment with OANDA clients, they are long and strong of silver and gold, even though gold is precariously near a support level of $1,300 an ounce. They are long, almost up to the eyeballs of pound dollar, even though we're at, presumably on the basis that it can't go any lower, can it?
Again, gold's come back close to its lows. Sterling's fallen, so it's an opportunity to pick it up.
Right. Dollar yen, they are going with the recent flow there. It's above 102, so that's good news. But they may be feeling a little bit of pain with euro sterling, which is currently at 87.40, which is about the highest it's been since Brexit. So they've got to hope that it will fall from these levels, I presume.
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Pound yen bottoming out at 130. This is the TIP TV trade of the day. Buy around 130.80. Objective 132.80 to 133 and stops below 129.50. The recent calls on the TIP TV trade of the day have been reasonably good, I believe. So maybe this will be another one of those suggestions.
Is there a league table published for the year?
It comes out every week.
Every week, right, okay.
Last week, I believe, was quite good.
Good.
Investors Intelligence, the co-report, the S&P remains in an attractive position, consolidating beneath the August record high. Near-term support is being provided by the 50-day EMA and the trend line drawn up from the June low. Should they fail, there is additional support from the 100-day moving average and then a lateral shelf across 2120. I haven't really heard of a lateral shelf before, but it sounds very important.
The continental shelf, actually.
Exactly. The 14-day RSI settled across neutral, prepped for the next push to fresh highs. Difficult to really go to be a bear of this market, because every time you do that, it slaps you in the face, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say ahead of the with the Trump-Clinton battle drawing to a head. I mean, you'd think that now would be the time to sit on your hands, but look at that index; it's just powering ahead, isn't it?
Okay, next up we have something from you, Alan.
Yeah, well, this is a little company that caught my eye. It's a small cap company worth less than £1 million on AIM. Company called Life Science Developments. It's a company run by Jim Mellon, and it's the company invests into biotech companies and life science companies. So, if you're looking to invest into biotech, this company offers a great spread of risk. And the chart just interests me because you've got the 200-day, which clearly it's fallen below. The 50-day's fallen too, but it has successfully maintained and held above that on previous dates. So I'm hoping if the stock maintains 2.5p where it is now, we might see a return back to 2.75, 2.8p, recovering those indices before too long.
Okay, and next company?
Well, this company's issued a trading statement today. Now, my colleague David Paul at Vectorvest picked this stock out, and the Vectorvest stock screening system picked it out some time ago, attributing a value of £2 to the stock. And on a fundamental level, it's delivered all the way through. As we can see here, it's now trading well above. There's a great momentum, and the stock has powered ahead this morning. Results this morning, solid trading, on track for the year, good organic growth in spite of Brexit. The company, by the way, is based in Sussex, down in my neck of the woods, and manufactures fasteners and has operations worldwide. It's expanded its footprint in Europe, and brokers such as Cantor, Peel Hunt and FinCap are all big fans, and buy ratings galore. So this is a good little company to hold and a good cash cow.
Okay, well, let's move along to the brokers, Capita Group, in the wake of its profits warning the other week. You've got the brokers all over the place. I chose these just to show how helpful the brokers can be. I'm not quite sure what you can gain from that. But buy at Jefferies and neutral at Credit Suisse. Yeah. And then Barclays on the run in terms of their previous target, where they were where they were equal weight, they've gone to overweight, £3.40 target. And I couldn't resist mentioning Deutsche Bank. I'm looking to open up an account there myself in the next few days.
If
they're still there. But they've come up with a sell on Lonmin. And Lonmin, I think, has been one of the better performers of the year there on the daily chart there. I think we were down below 50p in January. We've now gone up to 209 pence.
If you look at the resilience of the mining stocks, I mean, who would bet against any mining stock at the moment? I think every time everyone's tried to take a contrary position against them, they've just come back and bounced higher. I mean,
early Deutsche Bank are going for that stance.
Well, that could explain why their share price is in the doldrums.
What a shame. Alan Green, CEO of Brand New Communications, thank you very much for opening the Tip TV Finance Show today.
Thank you, Zach.
We'll be back after the break with David Buick, I hope.